The following is at Rock Springs in July 1965.
I'd like to read a portion of scripture found in the 9th chapter of Romans, beginning at the 15th verse and reading probably through the 23rd verse. This is a very familiar scripture to most people, one that pronounces the power of God and his purposes among the government men, and especially as they are manifested among those whom he had chosen in his own son before the world began. Written, of course, by the Apostle Paul, where he says, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, Why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? What is God willing to show his wrath? And to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he has called not to the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." Reading through the 24th verse. And may we look to the Lord in the word of prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before thy great throne this morning once again, desiring, if we know our hearts, to worship thee, to praise and to adore and to exalt thy great and holy name, for thy goodness and thy mercy which thou hast given unto us all the days of the years of our lives. O Lord, thou hast given us grace that we have been made to realize and to know our weaknesses, know how much we are dependent upon thee. Lord, give us grace this one more time, if it seems good to thee, that we might have thy spirit to worship thee in spirit and in truth, in which thou art worshipped alone, that we might for a little while be separated in our feelings and our consciousness from the trials and the troubles and the turmoils of this our present mortal natural life, which shall soon come to an end, and separated unto the things which are heavenly, things which are divine, things which come from above and are above, and are far above all these mortal perishing things, so that we, Lord, by faith, shall be enabled for a little while to look beyond life, beyond death, beyond the grave, and to rejoice that thou hast given us and hope and an assurance that though we must live and die, though we must go the way of our flesh, and yet to live in this life is not the half of it. To live in this life, O Lord, it is but traveling, as it were, from thine ancient and eternal purposes, which thou hast purposed in thyself, in bringing thy people through the ordinary generations of Adam, through this immortal journey in which thou dost prepare them by revealing to them thy grace and thy mercy, giving them hope, giving them assurance that this world and this life is not all. But when thou hast finished working thy will and purpose and all the things that are natural and carnal, then these things shall come to an end. And our blessed Savior shall come from heaven where he is now, Father, at thy right hand. He shall come again unto those who look for his appearing. He shall come without sin unto salvation, having conquered death and hell and the grave for thy people. And through the mighty power that raised himself from the dead, he shall speak, and thy people shall be raised from the dead. And in the resurrection they shall be conformed to the image of their Redeemer, which thee, our God, hast predestinated them to be conformed to his image. But all the others, O Lord, they shall come forth, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We feel, Father, that thou hast done great things for us. For whereas in days past we walked in darkness, in total darkness, so far as our understanding of spiritual things was concerned, so far as our understanding of our own condition as being dead in trespasses and in sins were concerned. But when thou wast pleased in thine own time to send forth thy Spirit into our hearts, then thou didst quicken us, O Lord, and bring us forth out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the Son of God. It is thy will this morning, O Lord, to confirm our hope, to stir up our pure mind by way of remembrance of the things that thou hast revealed to us, of the way that thou hast brought us out of darkness into thy marvelous light, of the assurances that thou hast given us, of the evidences of thy grace and thy mercy, and of that hope which is the anchor of our soul, sure and steadfast, and we might steadfastly look, O Lord, beyond this life, beyond this death, unto thee, our God, and be assured that when we do come to the end of our mortal journey, it is but to pass away from the troubles and sorrows and trials of this life, and be brought forth into that peaceful rest, and into that wonderful and glorious habitation, the glorious things that thou hast prepared for them that love thee. But, O Lord, we know that we're yet here in this low ground of sorrow and of sin. We know that we still need to be led, guided, kept by thy mighty power. Because we realize we're so weak, that our understanding is so little, that we know not what to do nor how to do. We confess, O Lord, that we even know not how to pray nor what to pray for. But when thou art pleased to put out thy Spirit, then thou dost indite prayer in our hearts. And we through thy Spirit are enabled to pray, not that our will be done, but that thy will be done. And we're made to rest assured in the midst of sorrows and troubles and afflictions, and when everything seems to be going wrong, everything seems to be against us. When in the presence of thy Spirit, O Lord, we're enabled and made to sit still, and to be still, and to look to thee, trust in thee, and know that all of our help must come from thee. Grant, O Lord, that we might this morning be stirred up in this pure mind, that we might remember all the way that we've been brought, that we might rejoice in the continuation of thy mercies and thy grace unto us, so that from time to time we're strengthened in the midst of these sorrows and things which give us so much trouble. But thou remember these, the little handful of thy creation that are gathered here this morning. We feel to realize, O Lord, that we're gathered here according to thine eternal will and purpose. We know not what thy will is, nor what thy purpose is, and that we are gathered here. But, O Lord, if thou art pleased to make thyself manifest in our poor hearts, and all shall be well. We know that thou dost fill the immensity of faith, that thou art everywhere present, nowhere absent, that all things are open before thine eyes. There's nothing hid from thee. Thou who dost not slumber nor sleep, but who is controlling and working thy will in the armies of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. O Lord, look thou upon us with pity and compassion. And it seems good to thee that we might have a door of utterance, that our minds might be stirred up to the extent and our tongues loose to thy praise and thine honor and thy glory. If thou knowest what is best, O Lord, whatever thy will may be, give us to rest assured that it is right, that it is good, for the Lord doeth all things right. Be with us, therefore, Father, while we live, and give us in the midst of our sorrows that we might look to thee, because we have so many troubles and sorrows that we know not what to do, nor what to say, nor how to do. But wilt thou, Lord, give us to look to thee and to trust implicitly in thee, knowing that thou hast promised never to leave us, nor to forsake us. So be with us, Father, and may thy name have all the praise and the honor and the glory forever and forever. Amen. I must confess that I am not really concerned too much about any portion of the scripture this morning. I do not seem to be stirred up in any of these things, but I'm sure that the Lord is still ruling and still reigning, and that he and he alone knows what his people need, and he alone is able to feed his people with that spiritual food that they need while they live here in this world. I've been made to look back over, and I'm sure that you have too, the way in which I've been brought, the meandering way, sometimes the way that have been full of sorrows and troubles and many doubts and fears. Sometimes I've wondered, oftentimes I've wondered what tomorrow shall bring forth. And often I've been concerned because I did not know what to do or how to do. Maybe I'd have problems that I could see no end to, no solution to them. And from a natural standpoint, to be worried. And sometimes we express it worried almost to death. And lo and behold, when the time has passed and we have seen the end of them, lo, the Lord has been there all the time. He had his way. The way was fixed, and the way, the solution was there. And so we often are made to feel and have to confess that the Lord was in the place, and I knew it not. I didn't know that, but he was there. He's on our right hand, he's upon our left hand. He surrounds us. Yea, his everlasting arms are underneath us, and he keeps us. Oh, that we might have grace to remember, to be assured that he does keep us. And as we begin to think about the church in this day, and as our brethren had thought about it in many days past, we wonder about the matter, and we see the world running after the things of the world, both so-called religiously, politically, socially, and in many ways, naturally, but there's so little, according to what we see, of the real worship of God, the real being concerned, concern for the things of the Church of the Living God. And my brother Jubilee did not realize at the same time. It doesn't matter so much how we're concerned about it, because if we were concerned, there's nothing we can do about it, and we know that. But oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be given grace to know that our God knows, that our God is yet ruling, reigning, and the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And if you sometimes, as I have, felt like that maybe the church, as we know the church, the doctrine, as we know the doctrine of God our Savior, that we seem to see it leaving in certain parts of the country. A few here, a few there, but in other parts there are many gathered together. And we wonder about these things. And we wonder whether the church really will finally go out of existence. We can't help but thoughts. There's a lot of people that have said for many years that this doctrine that we believe and preach, we rejoice in, that this doctrine will finally fade away, just vanish from the earth. But you know, we read, and our Savior said when he spoke to Peter and to the other brethren, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There have been ages, times, in days past when the church was, as we know the church, as we believe the church to be, have been wondering about the matter all these years. Wonder, individually, we wonder. Collectively, the church has wondered, has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Is he clean gone forever? But then in his own time, my brethren, he causes a revival to come among his people. And he brings people out of the world, so to speak. We had never seen any evidence or signs of God's mercy or of his dealings with them. He brings them out of the world and he directs them right to the very place where the things that he has already, the Lord, the Spirit of our God has already implanted, revealed in the hearts of these people. And he directs them. He directs them to the very place that they ought to go. I've heard people say that I've looked for the church, the Oakville Baptist Church, for years, and I didn't know where it was. I've looked for people who believed the doctrine and preached the doctrine that the old school or the primitive Baptist preached, and I didn't know where they were. I've inquired, they said, I've inquired, where do they preach the doctrine of election, the doctrine of God's predestination, the effectual calling of God, and all of these different things. I've searched for them, and people either don't know where they are or they're not willing to tell me where they are. And lo and behold, in the Lord's good time, these people who are given to be concerned about it, they are directed. They come, and when they come, there it is. So I believe, my brethren, and so do you believe, that the Lord has his people in the earth. The Lord reveals his truth to them, and in his own good time, he brings them to where the truth is preached, and where it is believed, and where they love to assemble together. Feelings are so unworthy, though they do, but they love to assemble together with those of like precious faith, there to sit down and to await the purposes of God, the mercies of God, as he's pleased sometimes to pour out his Spirit. We're lifted above these earthly troubles and forget about the wars and rumors of wars and find a peace that the world doesn't know anything about. When it speaks peace in our hearts, and nothing can bother us then. Nothing can trouble us then. When we have it confirmed and our pure mind is stirred up by way of remembrance of the promises of our God, when we feel to realize that we are anchored somehow or the other in the ancient and eternal will and purpose of God, and is making manifest his grace, his wonderful love to us, then all is well. Let the wind blow. Let the storms of life be ever so severe. Let us be brought almost to the end of all the things that we have and know as being natural. If the Lord is there, still all is well. Because he knows what we need. Not only knows what we need, but he supplies our every need. Have you hungered and thirsted after righteousness? Really, from the very depths of your soul that you hungered and thirsted after righteousness. These that are led this way shall be filled. They shall be. That's what Jesus said. If you've been led to hunger and thirst and to mourn on account of your felt and realized unworthiness, then the Lord knows what you need. In his own good time, he will speak peace in your heart. Then all shall be well. What we're concerned now is, if the Lord is pleased to open up a little of this, concerning the will of God towards his people, towards his own people. Now we know that there's no question but what God was the maker and the creator of all things, the heavens and the earth. We somehow have been given faith to believe that. I said last Sunday, I believe it was, in speaking at, wherever it was, that we see things naturally, from a natural standpoint, and understand things naturally by the spirit of man that's in us, that is the natural man. We see those things, we understand those things. God has so given us this understanding is in the nature of men, by the spirit that's in the natural carnal mind, man. We see these things, we understand them. But then, there is a place, there is a cutting off place, so to speak, between the natural understanding of men and the things which are spiritual, which no man of himself in his natural understanding can penetrate. You can't go beyond or into that thing. Those things which are spiritual and which are above the things of the in the understanding of men. The only way, therefore, that a person is given to see beyond the things of nature, the things which seem good to men, is to be given faith. Not just merely, I will put it this way, not just merely to have faith, as if we or men could of themselves have faith or believe in themselves, but to be given faith, to see and to realize things which you can't handle with your natural hands, but yet which are so real and so sure that faith, now faith is the substance. Think how deep and wonderful that faith which God gives his people. It becomes a substance, as the apostle said in Hebrews. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith, my brethren and friends, is just as real, just as sure as anything that you see and handle with your natural eyes, because this is the way that God has ordained that his people shall see things that they can't behold with their natural eyes, but shall see things that are eternal and in the heavens. I thought about it this way in my mind. I've seen it this way. You know, we talk about, I don't know too much about what it means, but we used to hear talk about the line of demarcation. That's the place that you go so far and you can't go any further. Well, there is a difference. There is a cutting off place. They talk about the Iron Curtain in Russia. That's nothing in comparison with that which is spiritual and that which is natural, because the natural man just can't go into the things of the spiritual unless he is blessed to be given faith to look into those things. Now, how many of us could say that we know from a natural standpoint? We know that God created the heavens and the earth. Well, we hear it. We hear men say it. We read it in the Bible that God created the heavens and the earth. We know that. Paul said in Hebrews again, by faith we understand the worlds were made. Well, if it wasn't, my brethren, by faith of which God is both the author and the finisher, If it wasn't for that, I'm afraid that I would be like those in our schools today that are teaching almost anything in the world except what's in this book. I mean the natural. I mean the schools, everyday schools that we send our children to. Some of us may not realize it, some of us may not know it, but they're teaching our children that that this world evolved. It grew out of some little something, and it grew and it grew and it grew until, behold, we have the world like it is today. They say that man has evolved from a lower order of animals, one-celled animal of some sort, and over the ages it grew, and this a little added here and a little added there, and now look what we have today in man. But my brethren, if it were not for faith, if it were not for the things that our God gives us directly from heaven, reveals to us, we would just be likely to go along with the world and say, yes, it must evolve, there must be such a thing as evolution. But not so when we have the faith of God's elect, because I can through faith and you can through faith believe, and I can say that we know that God created the heavens and the earth, because that faith, which God is both the author and the finisher, says that God created the heavens and the earth. And then when we begin to think about man, the scripture says that God formed man of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, my brethren, I can tell you, and you can believe, and do believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that God made man of the dust of the earth, that God created injustice.